Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Roberts, and as always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Roberts, and here on the late night Wednesday edition of The Yard. It's been a busy day, man. It really has been. Been a long day, too. Your good friend and host did not sleep very well last night, and so I got up early, been working, kind of been dragging in the afternoon hours, and we had baseball. That was an unplanned scrimmage, but because we didn't finish yesterday, we're back at it today. So we're going to talk a little bit about baseball later in the show, but I wanted to kind of give you guys, give you an update here in case you've missed it. Since we've been together, and just this evening, they have announced the availability report for the Mississippi State's game against Texas. And so here is how it reads. Blake Shapen out. That's not a surprise. Creed Whitmore also out. That is a surprise. Tyler Woodard out. Trent Hudson, wide receiver, out. Kevon Lee, out. That's not a surprise. Calvin Dinkins, still out. And this thing with Calvin is just amazing to me. He gets hurt last year in a season opener, and he's done for the year. And then he gets hurt this year in a season opener. We haven't seen him in a month. I don't get it, man. It's nobody's fault. It's kind of bad luck. Diego Brumfield, questionable. Trevion Wright, questionable. Those are two corners that we sent out of Memphis. And we expected them to add some depth and some competition. And we hadn't been able to get much from them. You know, Wright played a little bit, but they've been banged up. Kedrick Bangui-Jones, also questionable. Last week he was out, so upgraded. Chris Keyes also out last week, now questionable. All four of those guys will be game-time decisions or will decide a little bit later in the week if they're going to travel. Isaac Smith, probable. And then kicker Marlon Hogg, also probable. On the Texas side, they're a little thin at running back. C.J. Baxter, Christian Clark, Velton Gardner, all three of those running backs out. Defensive back Derek Williams Jr., doubtful. Running back Colin Page, doubtful. Then you get a little bit deeper here. DeAndre Moore, wide receiver, questionable. Quinn Ewers, quarterback, questionable. Jelani McDonald, defensive back, questionable. And then Quintrevion Wisner, running back, questionable. The running back room is beat up. You know, maybe that'll matter. You know, and then you think, you know, Arch Manning, all of a sudden, you know, he's been great, but all of a sudden, Arch Manning, maybe, you know, he wasn't great last week passing-wise. He completed less than 50% of his passes, but it's his first start, right? You don't want to judge too harshly, but he is from an Ole Miss family playing Mississippi State, and you got to feel like people have probably been in his ear a little bit about that. And so I don't expect State to win this ball game, but I think it may prove to be a little bit closer than the experts may suggest. But that's your availability point report for Mississippi State and Texas. And so we'll leave out on Friday. I think I told you guys I'm leaving Friday. So my plan is to record Friday's show Thursday night. So you'll have it first thing Friday. Kind of like you have today's Thursday morning. And then we're going to travel down. I'm going to see a friend of mine in Baton Rouge, have lunch, and then head over to New Iberia, watch Davion Jackson play. I've had all my arrangements made with his coach. He is healthy and expected to play at full 100% this weekend. So we'll see him, and then we'll push over. Well, I mean, my goal that night is just to complete watching the game and then push over to west of Houston. I don't want to deal with Houston on game day. So I want to be just a couple hours away from Austin. I don't think we make it all the way to Austin. Could be. We'll see. But, yeah, I mean, it's being that close, we'll be in good shape, and then we'll head back. And so that's the plan. And, of course, we'll be back in Stark Vegas on Sunday at some point. And so whether that be in the wee hours of the morning or the afternoon or the evening, I can't tell you. And that's the only thing I don't have an exact plan for. But looking forward to covering a game there at Darrell K. Royal Stadium. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I am in there probably three times a month, sometimes a little more. But sometimes it's just convenient for me to go to Harvey's. Part of the same restaurant group, so I like to keep business in the family when we can. But Bulldog Burger Company was one of my favorite places to dine even before they were sponsoring the show. That's one of the reasons I jumped at the opportunity. I said, hey, I love Bulldog Burger Company. This would be great to work with them. And I think that's been a big part of things. There's a lot of branding that we're sharing. I have people just recently had somebody come float at the True Rest Float Spa of Starkville and said, Steve, it's brainwashed me. He says, every time I come in town, I got to go to Bulldog Burger Company and all the other fine sponsors. And so I love the fact that we're kind of equated with one another just because of the fact that I see quality when I see Bulldog Burger Company, and you guys will too. And so I encourage you, next time you're in town or on the way to town, stop at one of their three great locations, University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. Don't pretend you don't. You do. We're aging a little bit. We got to add the spring rolls to our beauty care regimen. And have a great restaurant quality hamburger. You know, I mean, it's one of the few delicacies in life we afford ourselves. So many great ones to choose from. Again, I'm kind of on a smokehouse kick as of late. And I'm sure I'll cycle back around to Pimentology, add bacon. It's always a part of the deal too. Get that chocolate shake to go and ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's jump into our preview of Texas. We talked about them. I remember when you and I discussed this back during the summer months, like, hey, things kind of set up well for Texas. They're a very talented team, got a favorable schedule. And now we look into this thing now, man. We're a month into the season. They're the number one team in the country. Not that we were the only ones prognosticating Texas to have a good year, but I think maybe they have surprised some people with how well they played. That's always something, right? It's when you're expected to be good and then you're better than advertised. So let's look back the first 4 weeks of the year. They knock off Colorado State 52-0. And we all watched with great interest when they went to Michigan and won in a big house and knocked off the defending national champion Wolverines 31-12. And let's be honest, it should have been worse than that. Michigan just simply couldn't stop Texas. Texas San Antonio, they get those guys 56-7, and then Louisiana Monroe last week 51-3. So again, really none of these games have truly been competitive. You look at the Michigan game, but really Texas was in control. And if had it not been for a bogus penalty on Texas's first drive, this game is worse. They absolutely did what they wanted to do. So now, we'll see those guys, and then they'll get an open date. And then it's the Red River Shootout against Oklahoma. That'll be in the Cotton Bowl. Big game against Georgia in Austin. That could be a battle of one versus two. Then they go to Vanderbilt. They host Florida. They're at Arkansas. They host Kentucky. Then they're at A&M. You never know what's going to happen in those rivalry games, but you start thinking here, it's like, hey, Georgia is probably the lone team on here you look at and say, hey, they got a puncher's chance to win, even though it's in Austin. And you never know what these rivalry games, Oklahoma and A&M, but the reality of it is they should win those games. And the rest of the SEC schedule, I think, absolutely, absolutely favors Texas. All right, let's dig in a little bit here and just kind of look kind of inside the numbers and kind of see how things have kind of broken down for Texas. And as we mentioned, they've had a lot of injuries this year, too. Quinn Ewers been out, but they haven't really missed a step. You know, they've got depth. They've recruited at a high level. And as Steve Sarkisian said on Monday, this is kind of what they envisioned when they were beginning to build their program. But these guys are getting it done on both sides of the football, averaging 47.5 points a game, and that's playing two quarterbacks. Right? You lose Quinn Ewers early, and then you have to start Arch Manning. And granted, it was UL Monroe, but still, you're still scoring at a pretty high proficiency no matter who's behind center. Defensively, tied for the nation's lead, just allowing 5.5 points a game. So tied for number one in scoring defense. And granted, to be fair, they hadn't played a lot of great offenses. And, again, Mississippi State offense hasn't been great. We've had our moments, but then we're going to do it with a freshman this week. And so I don't think a lot's going to change when it comes to their averages. Perhaps the Bulldogs can make a game of it again for a while. We'll see. Again, I'm not just poor-mouthing you guys. I think this is a really big mismatch. But I do think them being banged up a little bit on offense maybe keeps the margin down some. Does that make sense? And I hate being in that position, right? We're just hoping to keep it close. I hate feeling that way. Texas has earned 41 first downs on the ground. They've allowed just 15, 50 through the air. They've allowed just 27. Four by penalty, have allowed three. Well-played games. But 95 first downs, their opponent's 45. So, yes, you heard that right. They're getting more than double the first downs of their opponents. The run game hasn't been great. And, again, I think some of that's because they've been banged up a little bit. But 759 yards on the ground for them. They've allowed 383. And we ran for 240 last week. Is that an anomaly? Or have we figured some things out? I guess we'll see. It's going to be a tough sled this week regardless. They've ran for 10 touchdowns. They've allowed one rushing touchdown in a year. Yeah, just the one. And again, they've ran for 759 yards and allowed 383. So, you know, we'll see how it breaks out. But they haven't been especially great running the football, but still right at 190 yards per game is nothing to sneeze at. Passing standpoint, 89 to 130, four interceptions. Average depth of target, almost 9.9 yards. Throwing it for 321 yards a game, 15 touchdowns through the year, they've allowed one. So two offensive touchdowns allowed by this Texas defense. If we go score two, we will have tied the season total that they've allowed. So you nervous yet? Yeah, you should be. This is a great Texas team. It's not just about the fact that we haven't been playing well and we're kind of beat up with injuries. They're a great team. They truly are. All right, from a return standpoint, they're averaging 23 a return, allowing just 17. So, again, playing good on all phases of the game here. Kickoff total, it's nuts. Just six returns. Six. You played four games. Well, it makes sense. You have the one freebie and then two scores. And that's where we are. It's crazy. Six returns. Yeah. Punt return average hasn't been great. You know, so teams have been doing a pretty good job kind of controlling that. So there is that little chink in the armor there. Interception, they've had seven interceptions for 106 yards. They've thrown four. But, you know, kick game's going to be part of this thing too. I mean, if this thing boils down to one possession, you know, it'll be a miracle. But, it just kind of is what it is. Third down conversions, man, it's gaudy. It's nearly 51%. Think about that for a second. You talk about sustaining drives, and of course that's winning on first down to put yourself in a manageable third down. 26 of 51, 51%. And then fourth down, they're 4 of 7. So nice possession plays, man. It's ridiculous. 30 of 58. It's crazy. They're allowing 21.8% third down conversions. They've allowed just 12 third down conversions on the year through four games. Opponents have gone for it 10 times on fourth down and made it five. Texas fumbled the football three times, recovered it, and lost it just once. The opponents have fumbled it just one, and so they're not forcing a ton of turnovers in that respect. But again, those picks are pretty big. Seven sacks. Opponents have had three. Perfect on PATs. And it's interesting, too, that they've had the two touchdowns against. They've only had one PAT kicked against them. Have you ever seen that? One PAT through 4 weeks into the season? It's pretty nuts, right? One PAT? We're in for it, guys. They're 22 of 23 in red zone. And then opponents have only reached the red zone four times. They've scored twice. And both of those times in the red zone have been field goals. They have not allowed a team to drive down the field methodically and put the ball in the end zone all year. Hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. All right. We talked about how beat up they are in the running game. Jarrett Gibson has kind of been the bell cow of this group. Not by much, but he's got 210 yards. And then Jaden Blue, 203. And then the rest of this thing is kind of beat up. And you start thinking about that, right? If you have a running back go down or be a little bit hobbled, you know. And I hate to even think in these terms, right? I'm so tired of it already. Like, I'm just sitting here talking to myself and ultimately to you. And I'm talking about Mississippi State just trying to play it close. you know, against Texas. And all due respect to Texas, but, you know, we talk about, you know, kind of exaggerating the differences. You know, we are really, really up against a worthy opponent, and we're not going to be able to bring our best effort because of the injuries. Not to mention the fact that there, you know, there's a tremendous talent differential in favor of Texas. For sure. Passing standpoint, Quinn Ewers, who is questionable, and, you know, the reports, got Pete Thamel and others said that not expected back this week. They'll sit him. But I suspect that, you know, if something should happen with Arch, and maybe he's not very, you know, efficient early on, that maybe they turn to Quinn. Like, if you need him in the second half, maybe they do. And they're not going to run the risk of losing a ball game. But Ewers, 58 of 79, a couple picks, 8 touchdowns. Arch Manning, 29 of 47, 2 picks, 7 touchdowns. Trey Owens has played a couple games. He's 2 for 4, no touchdowns, 19 yards. This receiving core, deep. Isaiah Bond is the big cow in the group, 15 grabs for 290 yards and 3 touchdowns. Ryan Wingo, another highly recruited guy, 9 grabs. Been pretty explosive there, averaging 26.56 yards per catch. Couple touchdowns for him. Gunnar Helm, 11 grabs for 197. Matthew Golden, 13 for 171. Jaden Blue, the running back, has got 10 receptions. Silas Bolden, a guy that's done a lot of things for him, carried the football some too. But they got 15 touchdowns. You start running the numbers here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys have had receiving touchdowns. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family. It could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe, and they even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
That's pretty nuts. We talk about this great defense. Anthony Hill Jr. leads them with 25 tackles. Where's Zero? A sophomore linebacker out of Denton, Texas. Product of Ryan High School. Also has a pick. To his credit, a couple sacks. David Gabenda, Another linebacker, senior from Cinco Ranch High School there in Katy, Texas, 6'5", 6'2", 235. Pardon me. 20 tackles. Linebackers are very, 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 very active. Jalen Gilbo, a 6-foot safety out of Port Arthur, Texas. That's the home of Jimmy Johnson and Janet Chaplin, in case you didn't know. But, guys, you run up and down the numbers here. There's just a lot of depth. And you think about how gaudy these numbers are. Got teams haven't been able to sustain drives, so it's not like you look at the numbers and think, okay, well, that's pretty good. These are great numbers considering the fact, too, that they're not having to stay on the field and still putting up these numbers. Pretty incredible. It truly is. We like to look at special teams here on the show. The punts, Michael Kern is your punter for Texas. He's punted just 10 times on the year, averaging 43. Four fair catches, four inside the 20, two beyond 50, a long of 52 this year. You know, maybe Kevin Coleman gets a chance to return one. Kevin thought he had a chance last week in, on one particular play, and the deep snapper gets him. Bert Auburn is your field goal kicker. He's 2 of 3 on the year. Hadn't had to kick much. That's part of the deal, you know. But, yeah, I mean, he's made his one inside 30, and he's missed, you know, 1 of 2 from beyond 40. Will Stone is your kickoff guy. 32 kickoffs this year. Only 18 touchbacks. So a little less than 50% returnable. But this is a guy that he's done a good job, 63.2-yard average, but that means that ball's coming down short of the goal line more times than not. So you may have an opportunity here to get a return. Devin Booth had a couple nice returns. You know, special teams may be a significant part of Mississippi State kind of putting a scoring drive together. Again, I'm not going to give you any illusions here that I expect State to win this ball game, but you know, we're gonna call it up like we always do, kind of work through here and say, hey, this is where they're weak, and there doesn't appear to be many weaknesses. Now, granted, to be fair, the quality of competition outside of Michigan hasn't been great. When you look at Mississippi State's quality competition, it's been worse, and State has played worse against lesser competition. There's a reason Texas is number one in the country. No, absolutely no doubt about it. Even with a beat-up running back room, you know, I mean, I don't give us a lot of hope because we have been so poor against the run. And it's interesting, too, like you talk to people and even some of our defensive players and say, hey, you know, the call is good. You know, we're not, you know, fitting gaps like we're supposed to. And again, my apologies. We had technical difficulty. But that goes back to the old Mike Leach adage, right? Either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. That's got to get fixed. You know, getting lined up right and having gap responsibility and everybody kind of understanding gap integrity, that's one of the first things we got to get handled. And, you know, you see people, even other teams are kind of like being critical of Mississippi State. And that's the thing. That's one of the things that we find offensive, right? We love Mississippi State. We love Mississippi State sports. We love every sport about Mississippi State. And so when people talk negatively about Mississippi State, many of us feel like, you know, talking about us because we've made an investment in this emotionally. We have chose to align ourselves with Mississippi State University. And so when things are not good and people are talking about us negatively in the national press, it's terrible. It's not to say that those comments aren't warranted. They are. We just don't like to hear them. You know, I know I had a friend of mine tell me recently, he said, Steve, I just kind of want to fly under the radar and get out of here this year. And then let's get into December and get into the portal and get this thing turned around. And, yeah, it's interesting, right? We didn't have a ton of hope for this year. But one of the things that we did kind of believe and expect is that we would have a fun brand of offense. At times we've shown some flashes, but it's, you know, for the last three games, we just dig ourselves a huge hole and then have to dig ourselves out. And I want to see us score when it matters, right? And this is not being overly critical, but no matter who you are, where you're from, when you get up 3 or 4 scores, there's a lessening of the intensity with everybody involved. That's what made Nick Saban special, right? He wouldn't let people blink. And so we look at these numbers and say, well, we made a bit of a comeback. Yeah, we made a bit of a comeback because the game had been decided. And so I want to see Mississippi State, and granted, I know it's Texas. Let's go out there and score some points that matter, like early in the first half. I mean, they all count. Don't get me wrong. But that's what I want to see this weekend. I want to see some first half success offensively. And I understand, again, Michael Van Buren's making his first college start. They're going to disguise some coverages. They're going to bring some exotic pressures that he's never seen before, and they're going to put the game in his lap, and they're going to try to confuse him, and hopefully he'll give them the football. That's what they're hoping. But my hope is that we have scripted some things for him, maybe utilizing the tight end a little bit, kind of slowing those backers down a little bit, making them play both the run and the pass, and not just getting downhill as blitzers. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough night. And, you know, we're making a trip out there, Dave Murray and I both. And I'll be honest with you, I've kind of been dealing with something today, sickness-wise, so hopefully we can shake that. I'm the kind of person that will traditionally kind of move my IV around and continue to work, but considering how long the drive is, if I'm not feeling better, I may have to punt. I don't want to punt. I want to go Texas, cover this football game, win or lose. So I share that with you, and I think it's important we all kind of feel the same way. I wrote about that recently on Gene's page that, you know, sometimes football season at Mississippi State has been more endured than enjoyed. That's kind of how we are. But I have not lost faith in Jeff Levy. And I think in many respects, you know, the pressure is really off now. Blake Shapen getting injured. You know, a lot of people are thinking, yeah, Steve, we got Texas and an open date in Georgia, right? You know, we're staring 1-5 right in the face. You know what? We probably are. But we're going to get out and go cover. You guys are still going to come to games. I hope all of you will still continue to come and kind of demonstrate to people what it is to be a Bulldog. But, you know, these are the years that turn boys to men and girls into women. True story. That's just, you know, there is some character building exercises going on right now, you know, when it comes to Mississippi State football, you know. And I think that's important for us to kind of all acknowledge. You know, we've got a lot we've got to improve upon. And the administration is committed to Jeff Levy. They're committed to Mississippi State football. We have made a greater contribution to football than we ever have. And I don't just mean a cost of living increase. We have upped our allotment and our commitment financially to football. And in time, that's going to pay off. And unfortunately, it's not going to pay off soon enough for us, right? You know, we want it to be immediate. We want that instant gratification. But, you know, let's be honest about it. Jeff Levy kind of inherited a mess. And it's not his mess to clean up, but clean it up he will. And, again, I'm a firm believer in Jeff Levy, and I think year two will be a lot better. And here we are 4 games in, already talking about next year. It's a tough position to be in. It truly is. But I begin to think about it, as difficult as it is for all of us, I mean, this is his job. And if Stevie's getting paid millions of dollars to do it, I understand that. If he blows this job, he'll never get another one as a head coach. And so it's not just about this team, this season. It's about the future of our program and the future of his own career. And so, and we need both of those things to go well. And we need Jeff Levy to make it and be here for several years and usher in a new brand of football at Mississippi State where we're competing for championships and chasing potential playoff spots. You know, these are the years that we thought we had graduated from, right? Even last year, with all the injuries, we felt like, hey, you know what? We go into the Egg Bowl needing to win that game to go to a bowl game. And we all believed we had a chance to do it. We didn't, though. You know, there's not going to be that opportunity this year. You know, maybe you can go play spoiler, but that Ole Miss team is excellent. They truly are. And so that's kind of where we're working through right now. That's the neighborhood in which we live. We just got to be honest about that. Things are not good. And there's no way you can sit around here and try to, you know, paint it any other way. You know, I've seen some people saying, well, the offense is going to be a lot different than Michael Van Buren. I agree. It's going to be a little more limited. The playbook is going to be a little more limited. And, you know, you got to get him going. You got to put him in some situations where he's comfortable. That's one thing Dan told me, Dan Mullen, when they were getting Dak ready to go play Auburn that year, is they sat down, him and BJ and Dan, okay, what plays do you like? What are you comfortable with? And they kind of built a play and call sheet around that. You know, and Jeff Levy's no dummy. He didn't need me to call him and say, hey, Jeff, Dan did this. But I suspect you'll see some of that. Kind of build the call sheet around what Mike is comfortable doing. And you know, Chris Parsons taking a lot of reps in practice this week too. And so don't be surprised if you don't see Chris too. You're not going to just let Mike go out there and be feasted on by the Lions, right? It's not going to happen. And so we got to be careful with these quarterbacks. And I think both guys deserve an opportunity. Let's see what happens, right? And we all saw what happened with Parsons at A&M last year. But, you know, that was a very difficult situation we went into down there. And, yeah, you had a staff that was already expecting to get fired, and they coached that way too. And the thing that I go back to, we talk about this sometimes in the media. We had already learned that Max Johnson wasn't going to play. We had reported that. It was communicated to the staff, Max Johnson's not going to play. And then Zach Arnett on the teleconference says, we're going to prepare like he's playing. We expect him to play. Well, sure enough, we prepared for him, and then they bring in Reed, the running quarterback, and he runs all over us. We were completely underprepared. And talking to players in postgame, they said, yeah, we prepared for Max Johnson. It's embarrassing, especially when you were already told, but you thought you knew better. You were wrong. Those are the kind of things that I look back at last year that infuriate me. But this is a new year. It's a new year. Calm down, Steve. Calm down. And we will. But it's one of those things that really infuriates you when you think about, you know, there's information out there that's shared and people just choose to ignore it because they think they know better. True story. All right, time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is a mortgage professional. Blair is a guy that gets things done. Blair is a guy that understands what you need to do to purchase a home, whether it be your first home, your second home, your retirement home. Blair is one of those people that can be your advocate with underwriting. 23 years of experience in the industry, top 1% close ratio in the country, back to back to back years. Yeah, that'll get it done. That dog will hunt. He's also one of us. Season ticket holder in multiple sports. It's a place here in town. He's a guy that kind of rides the wave with you just like I do. You know, he just doesn't have a podcast. He's out there closing loans. And so it can be a very daunting process, so it's good to stick with a winner, and that's who Blair Chandler is. Here's his phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Blair can be your advocate with underwriting. He can get you that pre-qualification letter, which will really get your real estate agent motivated because of the fact they know exactly what they're looking for at that point. You don't have to wonder, are they going to get approved for the financing, because you'll already have that in place. It's a great tool to have, and it just takes a little while. You know, just provide some documents, fill out an application, and Blair can say, okay, this is what you qualify for. This is within your means. There's going to be some jargon like DTI, debt-to-income ratio. He can work with you on that and kind of explain what you need to do. Right? Whether it's a game day condo or your first home, Blair Chandler is the way to go at closewithblair.com. Okay, we're headed to Texas. There's a thriving music scene there in Austin, Texas. And it's crazy, too. As big as Texas is, we don't have a ton of great rock bands from Texas. Does that make sense to you guys? It doesn't to me either. And a lot of it, too, is because, you know, country is big out there, you know. Tejano music is real big out there, but there are some really good rock bands, but there's not a lot of them. Now, some of you are going to argue and say, Steve, you left so-and-so off the list. Maybe you're right. But we got some classic rock. We got some modern rock. Got some alternative rock. We're going to start with number 10 on our list. It's Bowling for Soup. Did you know they were Texans? Maybe you didn't. And we're going to go with 1985. It's a great song, kind of a throwback. You got a mom, you know, forgets, you know, all the things that she loved in life. You know, she was going to dance on Whitesnake's car, all that good stuff. Great track. And again, a bit of a throwback. Number nine, I know that Coy Welburn's going to listen to the show, and he's going to be excited I have this band on here. And it's got to be the Pet Shop. No, it's not the Pet Shop Boys. It's Toadies. Toadies and their great hit, Possum King. That's probably the song they're most known for. It was a hit. Number eight, a band that I love, and I talked about them on the show a while back. And I had a few people hit me up and say, hey, I've never heard this band. I really like them. It's a band called Catch Your Breath. New band. I guess not really. I guess they got 3 or 4 albums out. But they're really kind of finding themselves. We're going to go with Shame on Me is the track for Catch Your Breath. Dial Tone is really good too, if you don't know it. Dial Tone's really good. Even though this song is supposed to be Dial Tone, it ends on a busy signal. Not that you have those anymore, but the old rotary phone busy signal. That's how the song ends. But Shame on Me is our pick today. Number 7, Flyleaf. Lacey Sturm, an incredible female vocalist. And I guess we could go ahead and remove the label, because she's just an incredible vocalist, regardless of gender, regardless of orientation, religious creed, anything like that. She is absolutely phenomenal. And she's a mom these days. And Mary Josh Sturm, and does some occasional guest work these days. But she left Flyleaf, and she was replaced, if that can be done. But Flyleaf is one of those early Octane bands, for those of you who listen to SiriusXM. And they were everywhere, it seemed. And a song off the very first album that we're going to go with is All Around Me. And I got a little story about this. I apologize. But it's All Around Me. And the song, here's how Lacey Sturm describes Flyleaf. The members of the band are Christians, but they are not a Christian rock band. They are Christians that are in a rock band, but their faith kind of comes through in their lyrical content. And even with the song So Sick, I didn't like the intro to Sick, but I love the rest of the song. Lacey kills it. But the song All Around Me can be interpreted in a multitude of ways, and Lacey's kind of talked about that. You know, a lot of people say, hey, that's a religious song. And other people say, no, it's really about, you know, losing someone that you love and you can still kind of feel their energy. I can feel you all around me, right? Lacey, in an interview, said she leaves the interpretation up to the listener itself. But I have seen some comments on social media, and this is one of the things that I wanted to discuss. I saw some young people, one person in particular, made this comment, and then like people kind of rallied. Because the thing that I've learned about, everybody loves the hot take, right? And so then all of a sudden somebody agrees with you, well, you found a friend in your foolishness. But here we go. And there's a bunch of that in message board and social media communities, just kind of how it is. There's some people that they're going to be the devil's advocate every single time. No matter what's happening, they're going to find a way to basically kind of troll for attention. But they discuss, hey, I used to love this All Around Me song until I found out that it was about God. And when I read that, I went back and read it again. I'm like, what is this? You know, what is this? And you read it again, and it's so incredibly sad to me that Lacey Sturm, a lady of faith, writes this beautiful rock song. And again, it's kind of a cafeteria-style thing, right? If you interpret this to be about your higher power or God, then the shoe fits. If you think about, hey, it's somebody that I have loved and have moved on, or maybe somebody that you love, and you can feel their energy, you know, when they're away from you. I mean, you can interpret it any way. It's the most beautiful thing about art. But where are we as a society when people decide, hey, I love this song, but now that I found out that it is God, you know, centric, I don't want anything to do with it. It just blows me away. It's like, well, I love this song and I've always loved it. It's one of my favorites, but I found out that there is a godly influence in this. And so, no, I'm done with this. I'm done with Lacey Sturm. I'm done with Flyleaf. Well, what it really tells me is that you didn't pay attention to what they've been singing all these years. But even if you have, and all of a sudden you go on social media and you're just like, hey, I don't want anything to do with God. You know what? I don't sit here and judge you, and I don't push my faith on you. And many of you don't even know what that is. But it troubles me that you know, there are people out there that believe that there is nothing greater than ourselves. It does. That troubles me. You know, and I was raised in a Levite tribe, you know, and so I know the stories. I have the relationships. And it's just one of those things to me that a young person would articulate that on social media. And, you know, if you've heard me say on this show before, you know, it makes no difference to me how you view God. It really doesn't. I mean, if you think God rides a Harley and smokes Roy Tans, I've heard that years ago in a meeting, and it's always stuck with me. If that's your interpretation of God, then that's okay. You know, I'm not going to sit here and preach to you, but I think it's a greater sense of explanation when you have to explain everything. It's like, well, how did all this stuff get here? You know, and I could speak about this for a long time. I'm not going to, but I think it is a very sad state of affairs that somebody would decide, I don't want anything to do with this song because it's about God. Truly, it's one of those things that it really troubles me. You know, and I'm not a get off of my lawn type person, but when I read that, I think to myself, you know, how sad that is, because I would not be here today without a higher power. It's true. No matter what you call it, I choose to call my higher power God with a capital G. That's me. And you may see it differently. I could speak extensively. I have read all of the religious texts, part of my man search for meaning and things of that nature. I've attended church services in every denomination. And a lot of it was, I wanted to try to find out if what I believe is what I believe because I believe it or because somebody else taught it to me and I just trust in their own values. And so, yes, I went out on this big search. It took me years to find out what I truly believe about the world and about God and the higher power and all of that stuff. I am a very spiritual person. I may not be as religious as many of you, and that's fine, because I have no desire to be a Pharisee, not suggesting that you are. It troubles me to think that this young person is going to go through life avoiding things that are of God because they're not, quote, cool, right? That just absolutely boggles the mind to me. You know, it does. Hey, I love this song forever, but until I found this out, it's a sad state of affairs, man. It is. And there's sometimes, like, I think about this sometimes, too. It's like, you know, like a Bill Burr comedian talks about how, you know, you go in this bubble, like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, life is one way, and the next thing you know, you're raising kids, and like 20 years go by, and then all of a sudden you come back out, and, you know, life has changed. You know, and at some point, we all age out. And there's so many disconnects right now between generations. Like, I've hear people talk about, you know, Gen X and things like that, and I think that we Gen Xers probably have a pretty better handle on things than many. I know that my parents really struggle with the state of the world today. I think there's some people, too, that are just like, I'm just kind of ready to go. You know, I'm just kind of ready to go. The world is deteriorating at such a rapid rate, and we appear powerless to change it. But I remind you that we all live under the reign of one king. All right, number six on our list. They were a bit of a one-hit wonder, but I love this album. Matter of fact, I eventually will get a back tattoo that will kind of resemble the album cover, the first album cover from this band. They used to have the cowboy boots that had the Texas flag on them. It's a band called Dangerous Toys. It was kind of like the poor man's version of Axl Rose, with the redheaded singer up there kind of squealing it out a little bit. We're going with Tease and Pleasing, One for the Road. Love that track. I still jam it on occasion, but Dangerous Toys is your band. Tease and Pleasing is your track number six. Number five, this was my song of the year a couple years ago. We did our year in review list, if you listen to Sirius XM, Katie Babbs, my favorite Sirius XM radio personality. Love her to death, man. Interacted with some on social media with her. She is super, super cool. She's Canadian, and she likes those ketchup potato chips, which is weird to me. But be that as it may, her husband, Tree, bass player in this group, Crown the Empire song, Blurry. It is a song, too, I think in many respects kind of echoes what we were just talking about. It's like, you know, when things are blurry, everything looks the same, right? And that's kind of what we are today as a society, right? It's like there's not a lot of right and wrong. There's not a lot of concrete anymore. Everything is fluid these days. And it's difficult to adjust to that, right? It's difficult. What, you know, like what's the, with Oliver Miller, what's his name? Oliver sang this song, it's tough being an old soul in the new world. It is. It is. But this is a song, too, I think compositionally is just an amazing track. And it's off the album Sudden Sky, which was really, really a big, big album for this band. And I think you'll enjoy that. Crown the Empire's Blurry. Number four, one of my favorite modern rock bands today. And they don't have the following that I think they should. They're from Texas, but they're named after a city in Tennessee. We're talking Memphis May Fire. I love them. I absolutely love them. And there is a track on there that I think about it a lot. It's a song that's very thought-provoking. And there are some songs that just kind of fit your mood and kind of, you know, there's sometimes I put that song on. A lot of times I put it on when I'm feeling a little bit depressed. It's a track called Heavy is the Weight. It's Heavy is the Weight that I Hold. And there's a lot of that in life. And sometimes you just need somebody to talk to, you know, and I want to take this time, and we don't do this enough, but if you are a person that is really struggling, you can text or dial 988. It's a free call or text on your phone because sometimes calling's not available. Maybe it's not possible where you are. You can text 988 if you're thinking about hurting yourself or somebody else. Life gets difficult for all of us, and you are not alone. My friend, oh my gosh, I loved him so much. My friend Scott Sorensen was a big artist out in Fondren. And a Fondren legend, they say. And one day he went out there and painted on the sidewalk that none of us think we're enough. And he posted a picture of it on Facebook. And you know what? That's true. None of us think we're enough. A lot of people put their best foot forward on social media and they'll tell you they're this and they'll make you feel like they're that. And the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, a lot of us still have a lot of insecurities. And one of the things that I have discovered in life, too, and I think because of the fact that I have four sisters, and I have a wife, and I have two daughters, some of the most beautiful women that I know are the most insecure people about their looks. It's incredible how that works, right? And I see some other people out there, and they've made them celebrities these days. I've seen some other people that I think are very unattractive that are very secure in their own skin. And it's interesting how that dynamic works. Like the more beautiful somebody is, I guess the more competition they feel. Maybe they are a little more adverse to aging, right? But there are other people out there like, hey, this is me. I'm good. You know, whatever, you know. But at the end of the day, I think all of us deal with some of those insecurities. I know as I get older, there's some things that I can't do that I used to do with great proficiency. And you look at it and you're like, you know what? This is still okay. It's still a great life. Man, I wish I could still do some of this. All right, number three. I didn't include Stevie Ray Vaughan because I see that as a blues act. Okay, I know some people are going to say you didn't include SRV, and I didn't. But I love Jimmy Vaughan's band, the Fabulous T-Birds. I love them, man. I absolutely love them. I listened to, I don't know, seven or eight songs theirs the other day. My favorite Fabulous T-Birds song and my favorite Fabulous T-Birds video, it's Wrap It Up. Wrap It Up, I'll take it. Because I've been watching you, and here I'm absolutely blowing it. I've been watching you for a while now, baby. Yeah, I just love your sexy ways. Love it. Love the track. I blew it. But all due respect to the T-Birds. Now, they had a handful of hits, probably not enough for a top 10 list. But if you like the blues, they've got some stuff deeper in the catalog, kind of similar to SRV. Yeah, and that's to be expected. All right, number two. I could make this kind of a triad of sorts because this band really changed rock and roll in many respects. Music got heavier, and there were a couple of spinoffs of this band. There was Damage Plan, obviously, and then there's Down. But we're talking about Pantera. I was in a band when Far Beyond Driven came out. Everybody in the band couldn't wait to go buy the album. And it just kind of changed a lot. You know, Dimebag Darrell, of course, changed it. You know, Phil Anselmo's got its had some problems. I'm glad they're back out. You know, Charlie Benanti is playing drums. Zach Wild's playing guitar. Zach and Dom were best friends. And so it's kind of cool to hear those songs being played again in front of huge crowds and stadiums and arenas out there. And, you know, again, the Abbott brother family. Vinny was never going to play with Phil. And so there's some people out there that have issues with that. But the reality of it is the songs are getting played and people are getting paid. So Pantera, we're going to go with Cowboys from Hell. And some people have picked up on this. On my left bicep, I have the CFH tattoo. All right, number one, and we would be remiss if we didn't mention this band. And even though there is some blues influence in what they do, you can't talk about Texas rock without mentioning ZZ Top. You can't. And that Eliminator album changed everything all of a sudden because of the visual aspect of ZZ Top. They were perfect for MTV. Not to mention the songs were great. The look was great. Their sense of humor was great. And we're going ZZ Top, but we're going to go with one of the more rocking songs in the catalog. We're going Sharp Dressed Man off the Eliminator album. Love that, because every girl's crazy about a sharp-dressed man. I found that's not really the case, but it's still a great track. The guitar on that thing is incredible, absolutely incredible. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out and let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on Twitter at Dogmatic67. That's Dawgmatic67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle, the Dawgmatic67. I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. Be sure and give me a follow wherever you do social media. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I know you do too. It's because they got the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise. When we need Mississippi State apparel, that's where we go, Campus Bookmart. A lot of people make the claim that they got the most merchandise. They don't. They're just pretenders to the throne. The kings and queens of Mississippi State merchandise right here in Starkville, as it should be. We all know this. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces and peruse their fine selections, and they can get you taken care of. Whether you're looking for apparel, looking for gift items, looking for knickknacks to outfit your fan cave, they can accommodate you. And if you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Campus Bookmart, man, you got to love them. And you should be following them on social media. When they get new arrivals in, they advertise them there. And chances are you're going to see something you really like. So follow them on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You'll find them. All right, let's talk a little bit about baseball. We are three scrimmages in. And if memory serves me correct, all of our portal hitters have hit a home run. Gehrig Fry hit one today, which I believe completed the bingo card. I believe Sawyer Reeves hit one on day one. That's the only one I'm not sure about is Sawyer Reeves. And so Reed Stallman hit one yesterday. It was an abbreviated scrimmage on Tuesday. We thought we were going to resume today. We had a full nine. I guess we played 8.5. But Bulldogs looking pretty good. And I'll tell you the things that are interesting to me. The pitchers that have done well are the newcomers. Jacob Pruitt was great yesterday. Charlie Foster and Duke Stone today were absolutely filthy. Now, the game today was 10-7, and all the scoring, with one exception, came in the first three innings. And Duke Stone comes in. He's the first pitcher of the day to put up a goose egg. Comes back out, does it again. This is a young man, too, that didn't pitch at all last year. He had an arm injury, played first base, swung the bat, didn't pitch. But he is going to pitch for Mississippi State, and I suspect he's going to pitch this year for Mississippi State. But the newcomers, doing a good job. Nate Williams, he was a guy that redshirted last year. You know, he had the UCL tear when he got here. So he missed 2023, and then he redshirted in 2024 to kind of continue to rehabilitate himself. You know, even though the velo was back a little bit last year, the strike throwing was not. He pitched some today, too, and a little bit, you know, a little bit rusty, You know, but that's a guy that may be able to help us. You know, we'll see. He was the number one junior college reliever in the country when he signed with State. And so that's an important aspect of things, too, is yeah, there's some dudes that you don't know. Dane Burns pitched today, too. I thought he looked good. Davis from Itawamba pitched yesterday. It was kind of hit or miss. He was really good, and they did give up one tank. But, yeah, these newcomers coming in are making it awfully interesting. Awfully interesting. I think everybody kind of sees it for what it is. You know, we had to go out there and find some pitching. You know, some of these returners, and Sierra was good on day one. I thought Pico was left some balls up early and paid for it, and that's good for him. It is. Because you got to learn, you know, where to challenge people. And so, and again, Pico, we expect him to be one of our weekend starters. Could be the Friday night guy, could be Saturday night. But Pruitt was really, really good. Bradley Lofton is throwing somewhere in 25 this year. Hopefully we get an Nate Dom type year out of him. Bradley Lofton has all of the talent in the world. And if he can put it together, put the makeup together, he could be a real dude on this team. And this is a guy that turned down some big coin to come play baseball at Mississippi State. Hadn't come together for him yet, but they hadn't given up on him either. And so he is a guy that we believe could kind of be a missing piece for us. But when I look at guys like, you know, Charlie and Duke and those guys, you know, you start thinking about how valuable they could be to us in the midweek. We always talk about, hey, that's going to be a weekend guy, and we just kind of whole staff it on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. That didn't work for us last year. We didn't have enough pitching depth to kind of find a guy or two to be our regular Tuesday night guy. That would be a great thing. You start thinking about, hey, Charlie Foster gives you four. Maybe Duke Stone gives you two or three. You turn it over to the bullpen and get on out of there with a dub. How many times did we, you know, give somebody a lead because we couldn't go out there and throw strikes? Now, Carson Ligon is going to be in the mix too. I thought his first inning yesterday was a little bit erratic. He calmed down there in the second. The guy had a great summer too. So I think the pitching right now is a work in progress, and that's something that we'll update you on as we continue to cover the fall scrimmages, and we've covered them all. And we will cover them all. Even when we're on the road for football, Mike Nemeth's going to be covering. You can find full coverage over at jeanspage.com. But this is going to be an offensive lineup. And some of that you say, but, you know, Steve, you mentioned pitching. Maybe some of the returners are not really up to snuff yet. You know, maybe we're getting knocked around the ballpark a little bit. Well, better now than in February and March, you know, kind of figuring out who we can trust. Which reminds me, Kevin Minnell yesterday, wearing 48. He's not Brooks Auger. He was really, really good too. And so, again, the newcomers, I think, are here to really compete, which in turn will make the returners better. Nobody's guaranteed anything. You know, I think really at this point, Stone Simmons is a guy too. We hadn't had him, you know, for basically 3 years. And he got injured in 2022 down in Tulane and missed the rest of 2022 and then 23. And then last year, of course, they had to kind of replot that nerve under the UCL. And his pain was better immediately. But he's a guy throwing that sinker. You know, of course, he's a veteran guy. You know, he understands what life's all about. Recently got engaged, too. How about that? Happy for the couple. And obviously a Mississippi State family on the other side of that union. But some great people involved in that. And when Stone and I had a chance to visit here recently, you know, he said, you know, had I not come to Mississippi State, I wouldn't have met her. Now, he may have met somebody else, but then it may not be the woman that God intended for him, right? And he believes in his heart he has found the absolute perfect mate for himself. That's a super cool thing. It is. It really is. But, yeah, offensively, we're knocking the ball around a good bit. And some of the younger defenders, like Braden Booth pitched today, but he started for the Maroon team at second on games 1 and 2. And I think he's going to be able to help us. He hit a home run yesterday, or on day one, excuse me. It all kind of runs together when they play every day. But we'll get a bit of a break, and we'll be back at it this weekend. But it's interesting to see these young guys come in here and be able to kind of handle SEC pitching and be able to turn balls around. Noah Sullivan, I had a chance to speak to a Major League Baseball scout this morning, and he's the first name that I mentioned. he knocks the fire out of the baseball. Even when it's foul, it's like you start looking, you're like, holy smokes, that ball was crushed. And he's hit a couple of shots too. Aaron Downs, that's a guy that, you know, we've kind of been waiting for the light to kind of come on a little bit. He's at times had trouble recognizing spin. He's barreled up some balls too. And it'll be interesting to see how we kind of put this outfield together. You know, who plays center? That's really one of the only questions we have defensively. Ace Reeves has been working at third, and that's where I think he profiles best. Sawyer Reeves working at short. Dylan Cobb is swinging, but he's not playing defense and is not running out his hits. And he pulled a double inside the line on Tuesday and hit another ball well again today. So, you know, the bat is there. That's really where Dylan needs the most work. You know, he's an elite defender. But I'm just kind of thinking in my head here, you know, Hunter Hines on the Maroon team playing first. Ace at third, Sawyer at short. Booth had been playing second, and today it was somebody different. I can't recall who. But, we're figuring all this thing out, and Nolan Stevens had an incredible catch out there, against the Atkerson Plaza, right? The little corner outfield spot there in right field, a big leaping catch up against the bricks. When he hit it, everybody's like, holy smokes. Came in and pitched today, just kind of up and down. You know, but Noah Sullivan pitched today too, kind of up and down. And Noah Sullivan's a guy too, it's a two-way guy. We expect him to be our regular DH, but Jackson Owen may be the biggest surprise of camp. And I believe it's three home runs now. Now, remember last year, Steven Spilletta led us in home runs, and we were like, holy smokes, man, we got something. That didn't translate to the season. But Jackson Owen was a guy, obviously, that we signed out of junior college and expected some big things from him. And he ended up redshirting, but he has swung the bat really well. Wearing number 23, playing for the black team. It's one of those things, too, that I think there's only so much you can tell in 3 days, but I think that we're going to be a lot better offensively. What I mean by that is there is more depth. You know, how it was last year, it's like if you got through Connor Hyzak, you know, it was pretty much over. Like, there just wasn't much depth in the second half of that order. You know, and DJ, we never could get DJ and Hunter both hot at the same time. Couldn't get Connor Hyzak, all three of those guys going at the same time. Of course, Hyzak, our most consistent guy last year. But when you think about adding Noah Sullivan to this, adding Ace Reese, and he's hit a couple of bombs, hit one today, hit one back on Monday. I think we had six on Monday. We had the only scoring yesterday were two home runs. And we get a couple home runs today. And so, and the thing about it is, it's different players. It's not like you got one guy out there just kind of owning it. Outside of Jackson Owen, and I guess now Ace Reese has two, but it's a number of players that are putting good wood on the ball, pardon the pun. But I like what we've seen so far. And I think that's one of the things that, again, we'll keep you abreast. Because we are there to cover. And we got some fans, too, that are very, very loyal that will turn out. And many of them attend all the scrimmages, too. And some of those guys post on our message board. And so we're going to bring you full coverage throughout there. We think the potential to have a really good year exists for this team. And part of that, too, is because of the fact when you look around the league, there are a lot of teams kind of similarly situated as Mississippi State. They're going to be very reliant on guys from the portal. And that includes Arkansas. Arkansas's got a few guys back, but they – I got some other guys, too, that that moved on. And, you know, that entire pitching, it's completely different. They have to rebuild their weekend as well. LSU, everybody talks about how great the portal class is, and then they don't realize LSU having to depend on the portal to rebuild a lineup. You know, Auburn, of course, got a few guys back, but also had to kind of dip in there, too. You know, Alabama, pretty active in the portal. Kentucky, Georgia. You know, basically rebuilding rosters in the portal. So there's a lot of people that are in a similar situation. We actually probably have a few more returners than some of our competitors. Outside of Texas A&M, I think Texas A&M right now, obviously the number one team in the country in the preseason, the most complete team, you know, based on what they have back. Of course, they lose Braden Montgomery, but they didn't have him down the stretch in Omaha and still played for an AFL championship. You know, so you're going to have, you know, Laviolette and those guys are back. He may be your preseason SEC player of the year. I mean, that guy is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, in the words of Ben Howland. And so I share that with you because I think it's important to understand the dynamics around college baseball have changed extensively. extensively. And we're not the only ones dealing with that. When we left Charlottesville, Virginia, everybody felt like I did. We're going to have to rebuild this this lineup. But we have. And now we're able to see these guys on the field swinging the bat in maroon and white. And that, again, there's some pop in this order. I think you're going to be excited with what you see, especially on offense. And, you know, we may have to throw some young guys on the pitching side. We may have to, you know. But I think when you factor in Mekhi Grant, that's a guy that people hadn't thought a lot of. You know, he was a guy that was very highly regarded when he came to Mississippi State. And then last year, he barely threw any innings and then tears the UCL. But he's back. They're going to be careful with him. They're going to be careful with Cup. They'll be careful with Ross Highfield. I'm told Ross is swinging it really, really well. Really, really well. So we'll see how things progress. Joe Powell is back. You know, so you begin to kind of work through this thing and you think, okay, yeah, we brought some good pieces in, but we got a couple of good pieces back. You know, Bryce Chance, of course, with the very, very low strikeout ratio. I don't know that he's a leadoff hitter, but he is a guy that can help us in some capacity. So you begin to kind of work through this. And again, it's not just about what we have and what we had to do. When you look around our league, and nearly everybody was in the same boat as us. In order to find difference makers, they were going to have to hit the portal. And everybody wants to play baseball in the Southeastern Conference. So you have a lot of guys that move up from the G5 level, and it's so interesting. There's a lot of people that only follow Mississippi State. And they're like, well, hey, why didn't we have a bunch of Power 5 guys? Well, you go look at who Arkansas signed. You know, go look who South Carolina signed. You know, go look who LSU signed. You know, they went out and got a bunch of guys, too, from the G5. You know, a couple of Power 5 guys, don't get me wrong. But everybody is kind of looking for the ascending player rather than the descending player. And that's always been my attitude when it's come to the portal. Give me the guy that has shown production. Don't give me the guy that made it to the Power 5 level and couldn't get it done and is now looking for a reboot. We don't need those players. Unless we have a pre-existing relationship with them. Because sometimes, you know, a pitching coach and hitting coach and a player aren't on the same page. So that's kind of important to understand, too. But I want those guys that have had production in college. And you look at what Noah Sullivan did at USC Upstate and what he's done already at Mississippi State. That's important, too. So that's your update on baseball. And, of course, come out and join us at Duty Noble Field when the Bulldogs are on the practice field. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you're looking to bring a large group to town, which is a lot of fun when everybody can kind of be together under one roof, enjoying one meal, sharing tons of laughs, rather than go out there and get five hotel rooms, you can get the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the old renovated clubhouse, the old country club. How cool is that? They saved that for you. Yeah, they bought it, they renovated it, and now it's available for you. To be able to bring your guests when you come, whether it be, you know, a midweek work trip, whether it's a ball game weekend, they can accommodate you. Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse through all of the amenities that are available to you and your guest. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that huge back porch area, the fire pit, the spacious living area, 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, neatly position just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right there. Instead of having to lug all your stuff back and forth, I know it's like, well, you know, Steve, listen, save yourself a little trouble every once in a while, right? You don't have to be a hero. Sometimes you can just have a great ball game weekend by staying at the clubhouse, and it's open year-round. Yeah, it's not just football season. So whenever you want to come and be a part of things here in Starkville, book the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google it, you're going to have some options that come up. You're going to have Airbnb, VRBO. You're going to have the Evolve website. That's the one you want to go to if you want to save some money. Choose the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay. It's BSR10. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle area. Not sure how long we go. I'm going to finish up here shortly, but I feel like I'm wilting a little bit. You know how it is when you... You know, I really need to get some rest. I didn't get much rest last night. I expect to be all good tomorrow. Been drinking my water, all that good stuff. But in case you haven't heard, Mississippi State has a number 9, a top 10 program right now. And maybe you were unaware of that. We're talking Mississippi State soccer. Now, what's interesting, I wrote an article yesterday. I had a chance to sit down with James Armstrong, the coach of the Mississippi State soccer team. And you talk about an infectious personality. I've met James. We've interacted a little bit. It's the first time that we actually just sat down one-on-one, kind of talked soccer, talked about his journey here. Coach Armstrong believes that he can win an AFL championship here. He believes he can win an SEC title here. You know, a lot of people have used our job as kind of a, you know, a stepping stone. And I asked him directly about that. He goes, you know, family comes first. He goes, my wife and my daughter love it here. My daughter has a lot of friends. Our quality of life here is great. And that's music to our ears, right? That's what we want to hear. That's how we envision Starkville too. They're 8-1. Now, they're also tied for first place in the Southeastern Conference standings with Arkansas and South Carolina. Going to take on South Carolina Thursday night. You can watch on the ESPN app. The next home game is going to be Sunday against LSU. And I'm going to try to hustle back from Austin and see if we can't go cover that game too. Guys, we have a chance to have a very historic season. Now, as I wrote yesterday, Mississippi State began playing soccer in 1995. Prior to James Armstrong taking the job here, he came over from Auburn. We've been to the SEC tournament just once. We've been there 5 consecutive years under Coach Armstrong. And he's been here 5 years. You know, it's incredible to think about that. And now back-to-back NCAA tournament bids. And last year we get to the Sweet 16. And he talked extensively about, hey, what we did last year is not going to be good enough this year. We want to take it to the next level. I believe him. Like, there are some coaches that you're around – and you can tell it's kind of coach speaky. It's like they're just kind of repeating what needs to be said. They're giving you what they think you want to hear. I believe James Armstrong. As I told Brendan Langwall last night, I said, I'm ready to go suit up, man. I mean, I don't know how much, but I got left in a tank. But when you hear James Armstrong speak so passionately about Mississippi State and what he and his staff have built here along with some incredible players, There's a sense of pride, but there's also a sense of purpose now. It's like, hey, we're not just here to maintain this level of success. We're here to build upon it. It's incredible. Before the day was done, signed an NIL deal with Allie Perry, a Texas native from Frisco, Texas, that scored the game winner against Texas. Can you begin to imagine how special that moment was for that young lady? Yeah, we welcome Oklahoma and Texas into the SEC, and we hang an L on both of them. And then it's a girl that from Texas that comes to Mississippi State and then beats Texas. It's pretty incredible. Yeah, we signed her to an NIL deal through True Rest, and she'll be doing some social media postings for us. And the reason I bring that up, not just because of the fact it's just something else that we've done with NIL, because we're not just Mississippi State people, we're Mississippi State partners. Okay? We want Starkville to be a great place. We want our student athletes to be supported. There are a lot of negatives about NIL, and you've learned a lot today about the UNLV situation, and now there's, players opting out, and then there's talk about Creed Whitmore opting out. You know, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I could speak extensively about that. But when Allie Perry, I got a hold of Allie Perry. I said, hey, listen, my wife and I would like to speak to you about a potential NIL deal. And she goes, okay, great. I said, I'd love for you to come meet with us. We'd like to meet you, you know. She goes, okay, great. I'll be there in 15, 20 minutes. She gets dressed and drives down, and she's there before I know. I think it took her like 10 minutes. And she was so incredibly excited that we wanted to partner with her. And I bring that up because maybe you should consider doing something similar. And I'm a big proponent of, like, on the women's part of things, you know, in the women's sports. I think they make great ambassadors. They have big social media followings. They're a lot better at social media than I am, and I'm pretty prolific. But also, too, there's so many of these sports that you know, our players are on partial scholarships. And, you know, maybe you can't make a big enough NIL deal to make that big of a difference, but anything you do helps. anything that you do. Not to mention, too, not just the compensation from it, the exposure from it. You're validating them as a player. And I'm not saying you got to go out there and do anything major, you know, put yourself in some kind of financial situation. But, you know, I look at it as a great advertising opportunity. You know, to have somebody go out there and represent your business, and it's a Mississippi State student athlete. You know, and of course, NIL deals vary, right? But think about that. You got to do some social media stuff for your business. You got to do some things out there. Why not get an ambassador from one of Mississippi State's partial scholarship sports? You know, we call those equivalency sports. But you know, what if you had that opportunity? And that's what NIL was built for. Not this cockamamie stuff we got going on now. You know, it's nuts what's happened. And so when Ali Perry came to the spa, I gave her the tour, showed her, you know, everything around, there was just a look in her eyes that made me wish we could just double it. You know, because like I saw how grateful she was. And I get home, we close the deal. My wife's like, oh, she's such a sweet girl. Really like her. I'm glad we're going to partner with her. And then I get home and I get to thinking about it. You know, as I start looking at the schedule, looking at what would have got left, you know, with State's soccer schedule. And I realized that, hey, I can probably cover all the home games that are remaining. Why not get out there and show them some exposure? We'll make the articles free. Give them some love, right? Not to mention Mississippi State, and it's gonna be tough. But we could set a new school record for wins in a season this year. This is arguably the best team we have ever had. Went to the Sweet 16 last year. A lot of returners from that team back this year. We added some pieces to it. We got a chance to do some big things this year. And again, if you get an opportunity. You know, when we do the Road Dog stuff, and like a lot of people are always looking for speakers for these alumni events, I don't want to put a burden on James Armstrong. You bring James Armstrong to the podium, let him talk to you about Starkville, let him talk to you about Mississippi State. It'll make you want to move back up here. It'll make you want to say, you know what, hey, there's no question to be answered here. It's Mississippi State. This is a young guy. I say young guy. He's a little bit younger than me. This is a young man. To be nice, that has found his home. And isn't it the best we could ever ask for? I mean, how many coaches come through here and they have it's a stepping stone mentality for them. And that really started in the 1950s when it came to football. And we've had some soccer coaches to kind of do the same thing. Even though we hadn't been great. Hey, we've had some great years at times. But this is the best that Mississippi State soccer's ever been. What we're experiencing now with James Armstrong is the best we have ever had consistently in Mississippi State. And I think it's worthy of our support. And so if you're in town or in the Golden Triangle, maybe Sunday night, you come out and support the ladies. We play in OSU. There's a handful of more games that are going to be here at home. And maybe tomorrow night, hey, you're looking for something to watch, maybe put the game on against South Carolina. That could be something that may determine an SEC championship when it's all said and done. It's a very significant, significant game. And maybe watch that, and you're like, hey, this is fun, it's exciting. And maybe come out and watch a game with us here in the next couple weeks. But, yeah, I'm excited. I'm a former soccer player myself. We love the footy, as they say. But I'm a believer in James Armstrong. Absolutely, unequivocally. Like, I follow the success. You know, watch some games, but to be able to sit down with him and kind of hear his vision for our program and his belief that he can win it all right here at Mississippi State, that means something. And to be honest with you, I think that is something we need to have with every coach. And we've had some in the past that have point blank told me, hey, you can't win it here. You can have some good years. You can go to some bowl games, maybe get to an NIT or two, maybe get to a tournament every now and again. But you can't win it here. I don't want anybody here that doesn't believe they can win it here because I believe we can. I think it's okay for us to want and expect more. And you look at what James Armstrong has done with a program that didn't have a ton of tradition. You're kind of like Vic Schaefer. Vic Schaefer shows up, you know, Sharon Fanning laid the foundation for what Vic built upon. We played for two NAFL championships. So don't tell me we can't build it and we can't do it at Mississippi State. We absolutely can't. Now, it's a little more difficult in football. You better believe it. But when you look at some of these other sports out there, some of these Olympic sports, we absolutely can put together championship programs. And I won't be the least bit surprised if our next national championship comes from Mississippi State soccer. Absolutely. Hey, let's get out of here. I told you I'm not really feeling well. You probably can tell. I'll be back tomorrow night, barring something unforeseen. And we'll get your Friday show done early because I plan to hit the road early Friday to get down to South Louisiana and then scoot on over to Texas to watch the Bulldogs play at Darrell K. Royal Stadium. Hey, until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.